This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The mindset of an inspired generation. Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
All right, it's 19:34 on Power Business. It is a Thursday evening. It means we move right into Power Suit. This evening, I'm joined by Raymond Langa, who is a group chief executive for South Africa at Legas de Lane, and also an old Parktown boy. And as an old Parktown girl, this is a very special moment for us. Raymond, thank you for being in studio, and good evening to you.
Good evening, and very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Brilliant. I think before we get into your work and your career and everything that you've learned, let's talk about you, where you're from, going to Parktown Boys, coming out of Parktown Boys, and what happened after that.
Oh, fantastic. So a little bit of background is I'm always excited to chat about this because I've been brought up with two different parts of the fence. Mm-hmm. So my mom, Limpopo, born and bred, she was a domestic and very, very lucky. I was adopted by a white family. Mm. So I had the exposure of two different cultures, which was quite really cool. And I think that's what's the reason why I mentioned that is that that's shaped who I am today in terms of loving people, loving different cultures, and being able to communicate with different types of people on a very connecting level. Mm-hmm. So outside of that, played sport for quite a bit, got to a professional level, lived in the UK for a little bit.
Interesting.
And
what sports?
Cricket. Oh. Yeah, love it. Unfortunately, one of those not romantic endings to sports, got an injury and had move on. And then Through the connections I made at Parktown Boys, and I'm glad that I'm talking to a Parktown girl here, makes me happy. I just managed to learn the skills of how to communicate with people. Brilliant. And that's where the love of advertising and marketing came from, you know. It was a very interesting start. I started as a promoter, you know, just to earn extra cash like everybody else does. And through that, I just climbed the ladder through that journey. So I was a promoter. I got hired by the promotion company. I then went through the promotion company. I got hired by their client, which was a experiential marketing agency. Mm-hmm. We did the coolest things, you know, big events. We hosted a lot of Heineken was one of the brands. We hosted these massive Champions League events. And we spent a couple of years there. And one day I got headhunted by another advertising agency. Brilliant. And that was a sports and marketing agency. So the sports was fantastic. It was my passion point. It was my love. And I'm a eager learner. Mm. I love learning and I never, ever want to stop learning. And that opened up my world to say, surely there's more to this advertising and marketing world. And I then started to put a few feelers out. And I've always realized when you put it out into the universe, someone's listening. Mm-hmm. And I then got approached to head up Legas de Lane across the African continent. And here we are today. You know, I'm here chatting to you and excited for this conversation.
Brilliant. I want to speak about starting off doing promotions because, like you said, something we all did. We were just trying to earn extra cash there. But it's an environment that many people will find themselves in, many young people who could be listening. Yep. It feels like a gig. It's very informal. You're probably trying to do something else with your life, so it's not your main thing. But wonderful things can come from that. Let's talk about that, you know, just being aware in every environment that you're in, being able to make friends, being able to make relationships, and being able to stand out.
I think what we all underestimate is the power of just relationships wherever we are. And you always need to value yourself more than anything else around you. Mm. So take every single step in your journey as a learning opportunity. I think hindsight is a very powerful thing. You always look back and say, wow, I didn't realize what I learned at that point in time. So I always say to people, just enjoy the journey because it goes by really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think we were joking around, couldn't believe how long it's been since I've been in high school. Yeah. But what that really taught me is just the magic of just interacting with people and different types of people. You know, when you're a promoter, your job is to sell, you know, so it's like a call center agent, but face to face. And my first job was working for a toothpaste brand.
Not sexy.
You know, not sexy at all. And my job was to sell their products on the floor and to get people to choose their product instead of their competitors. Mm-hmm. So that got me to a point of identifying different types of people in the shopping center and figuring out a game plan of how you're going to speak to these people to make sure that they choose your client's product over the next client's. And I think what that did, and the reason why I brought up my upbringing, is that it helped me, you know, from a language perspective. Mm. I could converse in multiple languages. I think I speak 5 out of our national languages. Mm. And that got me to a point of just being able to unpack that and saying, you know, why don't you use our product? Yeah. You know, we started conversations, and I realized human beings just want to connect with something, mm-hmm. and they want to connect with certain brands, that brands resonate with them, and that was the start of this beautiful science that I fell in love with.
What is it about the marketing and advertising bag that bit so hard?
People.
Yes.
And the reason why I say people is that we love to connect. Mm. Like, you know, it's in our DNA. And the most important thing for me is that we love to connect with certain brands and associate ourselves with certain brands. You know, we've got a lot of people that love to see themselves wearing Nike shoes. Mm. And there's certain people that love to see themselves wearing Adidas shoes. Mm. And there's like this cultural war between those two brands. But it's resonated in us. And it's like, oh, you're a Nike person. We can't be friends. Yeah. So I love the science behind that. And I love the ability to, it's wrong to say, mm-hmm. but to manipulate how people think in terms of what they love and why they love it. And I think the progression around that, especially with us millennials and coming through, we care a lot more about purposeful things, mm. you know. So what's really been a big step change in our world of advertising is brands that actually do things that make a positive impact to the world are starting to get a lot more attention from the millennials and the Gen Zs and et cetera. So I love the power of the human spirit and just interacting and how powerful we actually are. And it's part of how, if we just work together, anything's possible.
Absolutely agree with you there. And I want to actually speak about advertising and marketing and how it's changed. I mean, if you think of when we were pretty young, it looked a very certain way. All the adverts had jingles and we knew the jingles. We sang along. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy if we hear the jingles today. You know, marketing also less colorful, but most importantly, there just was very little tech. But here you are today, you're Group CEO. So I imagine that as you do your work, you have this memory of what it used to be. You have a very clear idea of what it is today, but you also have to look ahead of what it will look like, you know, in the future. I mean, let's talk about really trying to draw lines between all of that.
Firstly, we are still young.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But we are Simunye children, and that's a real thing.
There we go. So I think what was really, really powerful when we were younger is that we resonated with things so quickly. Mm-hmm. And I always say to people, us as millennials, we were in a world where there was so much change happened in such a short space of time. I remember getting my first cell phone. I think I was 15 mm-hmm. or something like that. And it was just one of those ones, 120 characters, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And to a point within a decade, I mean, we are sitting here with phones that can do absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that the change we've gone through has been so astronomical. And the mediums of advertising have been so astronomical. When we were younger, it was you get home, you watch your TV. Mm-hmm. I never read newspapers or anything like that, you know. So TV was the primary opportunity for us to interact. And I remember when we were in primary school, brands like Colgate and Aquafresh would come and showcase their products and teaching us how to brush our teeth and those types of elements. And the famous Oros ad, you know. But where did we consume all of that? It was on TV. So now where we're moving now, well, where the world moved to, the more opportunities became alive in terms of how you can then communicate with consumers. Mm. It turned into, first, it's the start of Facebook. Facebook started, and then all of a sudden, when Facebook came out, it was just a communications channel. Yep. Then it all of a sudden evolved to consume. Then brands started to realize, hold on, there's a lot of eyeballs mm-hmm. that are on this platform. Surely if we're trying to communicate with a certain type of consumer, this is where we should be having this conversation. And I think what happened through that is Facebook started to realize that this was a huge monetizing opportunity for them. So it grew into that perspective. And then all the other social media, I'm not going to mention mm-hmm. all of them, but mm-hmm. they all came along. And I think they started to realize that certain social media platforms were engaging with different types of people mm-hmm. from different age demographics, racial demographics, and what you started to realize was brands were becoming significantly more specific with what channels they were going to be on to make sure that they can speak to the right types of consumers. So where we are right now is that the biggest challenge for all of us is how do we keep people's attention?
Yeah.
Because we have a vast variety of opportunities to consume content, whether it be on digital platforms, social platforms, streaming. I could go on and on and on. So now as a brand, the challenge is, okay, this is the type of consumer that we're trying to attract. Where are we going to have this conversation? And that's where we come in. Mm. We guide them on the types of conversations they can have, where they can have those conversations, and help them achieve their business objectives based on that. Because we're in a world that is changing constantly on a daily basis. So you asked me, what does it look like going forward? What's really exciting is I don't know.
Yeah.
But what really excites me about that is that no one knows. Yeah. And whoever says that they know is slightly delusional. Yeah. So it's really about how can we make sure that we're working together. And when I mean together, it's corporate South Africa needs to work with us as the consumers, mm-hmm. in terms of identifying what we're passionate about, what we want to do. And I think the brands that can make that change quick enough will get the majority of the market share. And the brands that don't make that change quickly enough, unfortunately, might just fall off the cliff.
And of course, you look after here, you know, a business that is has a global footprint. And how does that all work and merge into where we are in advertising, where we are in marketing? The South African market, I always think, is very complex. We're just so diverse. It has to be a complex market. Yeah. But the rest of the world also has its own kind of tune going, also rather diverse here. Do we fit in? Are there places where we fit in? Are there places where we completely stand out?
We completely stand out everywhere.
I like that.
I think us as South Africans, and I'll even go Africans, we are so unique, and we have so much flair and excitement about us, no matter where we go. And I think what we've noticed is that a lot of businesses have the assumption that they can come to Africa, set up, and have a business as normal. Yeah. And what tends to happen 9 times out of 10 is that they fail horribly until they have some form of African influence within that organization that actually understands how complex we are as human beings. And not only as Ray is complex, but within Ray's family, you know, there's many different complexities there. And the biggest thing for me is that I'm very fortunate that I get the opportunity to travel for business. Mm. And when you go to other parts of the world, I think there's still a little bit of we don't know as much as they do type of attitude. And I think that's where the opportunity is for us Africans. No one's really looking at us. And when no one's looking at you, that is when you climb the ladder, and before they realize it, we're already past them. So it's all about what I'm trying to do is to get people to just believe in it. Believe in us, you know, believe in the power of African creativity, and believe that we are the best. Mm. And I'm waiting for someone to prove me wrong, because I don't think that they can.
Absolutely.
And I think that the most important thing for us is that we've got a lot of complex issues across the continent. Mm. And people leave the continent because of the variety of complex issues that we've got, you know, from everything that's happening in the northern parts of our continent to what's happening here right at home. So what we're trying to do is to communicate to people that this is home. We need to invest in each other and invest in ourselves. And we must stop taking Africa to the world, but we need to bring the world back to Africa.
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting, I think, message there, because it'd be really, for as long as I can think of it, people have said Africa to the world, and actually bringing it back it feels like hard work as well.
Yeah.
Because if I think of other parts of the world, there seems to be lots happening there too. If I think of Southeast Asia, for instance, lots and lots of growth are happening there. But the African story, Ray, and we must talk about how we tell our stories, because that's an important part of how you know, we advertise ourselves, how we market ourselves, and how we sell this. Do we adequately tell our stories? Do we tell our stories with the right level of optimism?
Definitely not. Mm. Well, let me say definitely not enough.
Okay.
Right. And the reason why I say that is that a lot of people leave our continent with potentially negative things that have happened to them in their personal capacity. Mm. And that's the message that they take with them. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm very lucky that I've got the opportunity to travel to many countries before. But one thing I can say to people is that there are problems everywhere.
Yep.
And the big thing that keeps me optimistic about South Africa specifically is that our problems are solvable. And a lot of people, I don't think, really understand that. You know, for us, it's the power of collaboration. And that's really what we're doing in the world of advertising and marketing. It's that how do we all work together, and how do we push through this very brief form of diversity and challenges that we're currently having as a nation. You know, we're 30 years old. Mm-hmm. That's what I keep reminding people. We are literally 30 years old. So I thought 30 was an adult and old when I was 18. It's not.
Yeah.
You know,
we're democracy babies.
We are democracy babies.
Yeah.
So we're on this journey together, and I'll keep harping on about it. Collaboration is the most important thing. We can't do this alone. And whoever thinks that you can sit in the seat of power and run our country and make the decisions by yourself, you need to change your chain of thinking extremely quickly, because we've got a consistently growing array of incredibly smart people in our African continent that are being snapped up by the Harvards of the world. And they should be here. Yes, you can go to various institutions and learn your trade, but come back home. But we haven't given them a reason to come back home. And I'm hoping that together we can start having the positive conversations. We can start showing people how we are as a nation. And I think through the power of creativity and through the power of marketing and advertising that we do, it's our job to tell that story. So we're trying to find the feel-good stories and to show people how wonderful we have it here. You know, because I'm always the first person to encourage people to just come here. Come experience it. Come see how the brands act. And when you start working on global brands and you actually expose them to the African and South African culture, they are surprisingly shocked and excited about the potential opportunities. So the rest of the world is excited, and people forget that. And I don't think people actually see how excited the rest of the world is by Africa. So I think we need to show people that, guys, this is the place to be. And because the rest of the world wants to be here. So if we can just start spreading that love and spreading that narrative, I think we'll be on the positive climb.
I want to bring it back to you, Ray, and your leadership style here, because, of course, you do lead this organization. Let's talk about your leadership style and what it means to lead people. Often when we have, our power suits and our leaders in studio, they do speak about leading people isn't easy, but you do have a sporting background. That always helps. Team sports often helps in that. But, you know, having been able to, we've spoken about all of this diversity, to lead this diversity, to get people to buy into strategies and then to lead the implementation of the strategy. That isn't easy work.
No, it's not. And people are very complex in their own right. So my leadership style, whenever I bring people into my team or people into my life, I want you to be the best version of yourself, whatever that means to you. Because the power of what we can do when we're bringing in our own backgrounds and our own problems and our own happy thoughts, and we're bringing them around a table and we're starting to try and solve business problems together from different areas and different backgrounds and different thoughts, the solutions that come out of that are, I actually can't put them into words. You know, where you have now got somebody that has come up from an extremely privileged background, now sitting with somebody that's like myself, that's come from rural South Africa, and now we're having a conversation about solving a problem for a multi-billion rand business. My perspective is going to be completely different to that other individual's perspective. So what I always encourage people to do is, I want to create a safe space. You know, we live in a world where the mental health side of things has become a very prominent topic, particularly amongst men. So what we're wanting to do is, we want to come into a place where we want you to be able to express yourself in the best possible way, because when you feel safe and when you're in a comfortable environment, you feel free to really let go and to really let your creativity shine. I always encourage my team to, say what you want to say. There's nothing that is wrong. It may not work for this specific project, but that's okay. Because you try and we try again. And if we all believe in something, we're going to back it. And if that one thing doesn't work, that's okay. We'll then sit together and figure out why didn't it work? Because when we go through the process, maybe it was something that we did in the beginning that didn't necessarily work out. We misinterpreted a brief or something like that. But the most important thing for me is, I'm here to help people grow and to develop themselves into the leaders of tomorrow. And if I can do that, and somebody, if I can make you a better human being in terms of how you show up, not only at work, but in your personal capacity as well, I'm hoping that even if you leave my business, you're going to go and you're going to pass on that narrative. And I'm hoping that by you passing on that narrative, that next individual is going to pay it forward, and we're continuously paying it forward. So it's really about, how do I make sure that I turn up as the best possible human being as I can every single day? And I'm hoping that I can encourage other people to do the same.
Brilliant. I absolutely love that. And I think I must be honest, it's a very millennial answer to leadership. And I enjoy it, because I do think that we also are moving into a time when a lot more millennials will be, in leadership positions, running multinationals, running organizations. And it's important for us to be able to carve out our story about the leaders that we are and the leaders that we want to be. Let's talk about mentorship. I'm keen to find out if you've had people in your life who've really, helped you gain confidence. Difficult conversations need to be had when you run an organization. These are all skills that nobody can teach you in a classroom. It's just about learning life, and then also having people to go to if you should need advice and guidance.
Yes, I'm a big believer in mentorship. Really just about guidance, not only in my in professional capacity, but specifically in my personal capacity, because I think the most important thing for me is that I'm a good human being.
Yeah.
And that's really the guidance that I'm after. So I've got a mentor who's my number one mentor gentleman by the name of Tico Thomas, and he's really my guiding pillar, because I believe that we've got very similar values in terms of how he is around his family and how he is around his friends and how he carries himself as a leader in a massive organization. And I can relate to that. So it was actually quite a nerve-wracking thing asking him to be my mentor. And I think when he responded and he mentioned the reason why he accepts that is because we have similar values. So I think that was quite aligned. And I've got a very, very small circle of friends that are my sounding pillar. And I think as I've gotten older, I've realized that I value authentic people in my life and people that are not scared to tell me when I'm wrong. And I think that that's the most important thing. I don't want to be around people that just want to be around for a good time. I want to be around people that add value in my life, whether it be telling me that to sit down when I'm being a little bit too much or to urge me on, you know, when I've got an interview on Pi FM. So, and the biggest support, I'll be honest, is my wife. She's like my number one cheerleader, constantly just making me believe in myself even more than I already believe in myself, you know. So I always say to people, just find people that can, number one, relate to you, and number one, just back you and just be truthful with you on a constant basis.
You actually spoke about approaching Tico to be your mentor, and I want to speak about that, because I think there's people who might be, you go through LinkedIn and you're like, oh, if only I could ask this person to mentor me. But you've spoken here about, first of all, approaching him, and then also putting your case forward, and then the values that you must have expressed. Let's talk about strategies for that, you know, for people who really want to shoot their shot with that person.
I think it's about getting a connection first and foremost. You can't go in. You can't go in cold.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think that's number one. You can't. Okay. Don't be sliding into anyone's DMs.
Yeah.
You know. So I think what you need to do is start it off by a conversation. I think keep it within your realm first and foremost. You know, I would have never had the confidence as a junior to now go to an executive at one of the biggest companies in South Africa and be like, yo, hey, it's Ray, you know, can you be my mentor? No. What I did is I played the hard yards first. I did my best to surround myself with like-minded people. And the best thing I would suggest to anybody is follow the people you want to relate to. So get on their social media platforms, follow them on LinkedIn, you know, just get a better understanding of what they do, why they do it. And because what happens is a lot of people think that someone should be a mentor just because that they are seen as successful in inverted commas. And that's not the case. For me, it's really about making sure that your values align. And they don't know who you are, really. So they don't know that your values align. So why would they accept to mentor you when they don't have that understanding? So I've been very lucky to be around Tico for 8 years, just around business and opportunities. And I'd see him at various business events. And we started to build a rapport. We both got a love for art and wine. So that's where the conversation started to engage itself. And it took me 5 years to get to the point of saying, listen, I really admire you. I really admire what you do as a human being. And it was quite funny. It had nothing to do with his work. I didn't mention anything about what he does for a living, but it was more about who he is and how he gives back to the community and how he's all about uplifting the Eastern Cape. And I'm all about uplifting home in Limpopo. So that's where we align. So there's no easy solve to it. But I think what people need to realize before they go and say that they want mentorship or they want guidance is you need to ask yourself why. Because as a potential mentor, if someone has to come to me and say, Ray, I want you to mentor me, I'm going to say why. Yeah. Why? Firstly, why me? And firstly, why do you want a mentor? I knew that I wanted a mentor because I wanted somebody. It goes part of that brand of the young black successful people that happened post democracy. So for me, that he's built an absolutely beautiful legacy. And what really got me the most is his willingness to give back. He wanted to send the elevator back down and bring other people up with him. And that's the thing that resonated with me, because that's what I'm passionate about, is making sure that I give back. So I think the minute I expressed that to him, he was like, okay, you're someone that can sit in my circle because we care about the same things. Yep. Yes, maybe it's in different realms, but we happen to care about the same things. And if he had to lose everything tomorrow and he stopped working where he's working, it wouldn't affect me. Mm. It wouldn't affect where we're what we're building together, because we're aligned on the same values, and he wants to see the best for me because I'm trying to make South Africa a better place.
I love that. And I'm actually glad that you actually said that, because that segues perfectly to my last question this evening. 29th of May, Ray, that is our election, of course. And it's important, I think, to get our executives just to think about what do we want the post 29 May South Africa to look like, the leadership that we're trying to gun for here. I think we've spoken about this, actually touched on a little bit earlier, but the 29th of May, it's big. And as somebody who cares about South Africa, who is part of building South Africa, who's leading in South Africa, what are your musings?
Firstly, people vote.
Yeah.
Like, you don't understand how important it is to just vote. There's a big shift in with the millennials coming to the forefront, and I think we're highlighting a lot of the issues constantly. We're being very vocal about it, and the thing for me is, whoever wins, whoever's the leader of tomorrow, I think what we need to focus on is, let's not look for a blame game. Let's not go and say these are the challenges we have because of ABCD. I think what's really, really important right now is, once again, the power of collaboration. We have to work together to move forward. And I think what we need to do, if the current ruling party is still in charge, I think the biggest thing that they have to focus on is, number one, just admit that you haven't done the best possible job you could have in the last couple of years. But don't come with more excuses. What are we going to do to move forward? And let's just do it. You know, and I think that's the problem. We have so many false promises, so many other parties, all they're doing is highlighting the other party's faults. But I think what we need to do is, let's stop doing that, and let's all work collectively on how we're going to have a better tomorrow and how we're going to move forward. It's not going to be solved overnight. People are delusional, thinking that a certain party is going to win and a certain party is not going to win, and all of a sudden things are going to change. It's not going to work that way. So what's very important for us is, whoever wins, is that we move forward. And I think it's unfortunate, in my opinion, that the current ruling party has had their chance for too long. I don't think that they are the right people to take us forward. But if they do somehow get another opportunity, I think that they need to look at themselves hard in the mirror and realize that we haven't done what we should have done, especially taking into account what they had before that. Now, here's your opportunity to let all move forward together, because if you're not going to do it together, unfortunately, this place is not going to go to a very positive, it's not going to go in a very positive direction.
Brilliant. It's been a pleasure talking to you, hearing from you. And if you missed that conversation with Ray, we'll have all of that on podcast for you, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as the Power FM website. Ray, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
Brilliant. That's Raymond Langer, Group Chief Executive for South Africa at Lagos Delane. It's how we wrap up this edition of Power Business.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.